if you're anything like me, Sully, when someone tells you you can't do it, you definitely get a little fire on your ass because you're like, don't tell me I can't do something.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Lonnie Wampshire, founder and CEO of New York Fitness Clubs. Lonnie, welcome to episode 95 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here. You're doing good things, and I can't wait to talk more with you.
I wanted to ask, how did you first hear about the podcast?
I'll be honest. My daughter manages the Lebanon facility, and she's like, Dad, you need to get on this guy's podcast. He's great. And I was like, who are you talking about? Because I'm into podcasts. So she turned me on to it, and I was like, man, he's doing really good. He's right here in Lebanon. And she's like, yeah. So she sent me the link and all this stuff. My daughter, she just turned 20, works for me at the club. Like I said, runs the Lebanon location. Okay. She's the one that opened my eyes to you.
Okay. What's her name?
Rosetta.
Rosetta. Yep. Shout out to Rosetta. That's awesome. And you're big into podcasts because I saw you like the Real AF podcast.
Yep. Yeah, that's my go-to. Every day if he has an episode, I try to listen to it just because it's real stuff that I think people need to hear.
Yeah. Well, I have a recommendation for you.
Okay.
If you're open to it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
The Sean Ryan Show. Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
Okay. Sean Ryan Show. He was in the military. I can't remember if he was Army or whatnot, Marines. But does a similar thing as the Real AF podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
It's worth it. I mean, they talk about, he brings in military, veterans, CIA, FBI. Some episodes, they talk about aliens, and get way out there, you know. But you probably really like it.
I love it. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Sweet. Lonnie, we're going to talk a lot about fitness. We're going to talk a lot about, New York fitness clubs. But let's start off with, your background. Where were you born and raised? What was your early childhood like?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a local guy. I'm from Palmyra my whole life. Never left, still in Palmyra. Grew up on the the other side of the tracks and with some rough kids and just ran the streets and rode bicycle a lot, played a lot of sports. When I was younger, my sister had juvenile diabetes, so my mom had her hands full with taking care of my sister. She got that around age 9, 10, so I was like 7 or 8. So I was always out just running around, staying on my mom's hair as much as I could. Real big into sports. And, played soccer, played track. As a young kid, played all the sports, but my two things were track and soccer. So growing up, I was always active. Raced some BMX bike before I got my driver's license, but kind of just grew up playing sports like I think a lot of kids back in the day did before. We had all the phones and video games and all that stuff. We actually were out running around, being active. Just Palmyra all my life, and I'm still in that town, and I just love the small community.
That's what it's all about, local community for sure. And it's amazing, what you said, how different the time is, right? Like, kids younger and younger are getting iPhones and on the tablets and the iPads, and, do they even know what outside is, going out and playing?
Right. Yeah, no, it's crazy to see, just even when you go out to eat, I'm sure everybody's witnessed this, you're at a dinner table at a restaurant and the kid's on his tablet with his headphones on, and I'm like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I like kids to play and do stuff like that too. But when you're at dinner, I want to hear about your day. I want to talk more about business with my kids now because they're a little older.
Yeah.
Just you got to shake your head sometimes and see why are you entertaining your kid's life with just this tablet? Like, have them put it down just for dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just connect with them. So yeah, it's definitely a different world we live in than, when I grew up.
For sure. I mean, I've seen the same thing. It's like, well, you're missing so much. You're missing conversation with your parents, your family, your friends, siblings. And it's like, there's more to life than just what's on the screen.
Exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly.
It's wild. So growing up, what did your mom and dad do? What were they doing?
So yeah, both my parents, I'll take it a step further. My grandfather's, my grandpa Wampshire, he was a Milton Hershey boy. So he went to the Milton Hershey School for boys when it was just boys, worked at the factory his whole life. He would spend some time in the Navy, but worked for Milton Hershey in the factory. My father worked for the factory, but he was in the printing department. So he was in the office printing department, ran that. I always make fun of him because when he was in high school, he was, I guess, the fastest typer. Like,
yeah.
And I was always the fastest kid, like, on the track team because I was a sprinter.
Okay.
So I always bust my dad's balls because I'm like, you were the fastest typer and you got the job in the mailroom because, you know, you could type so fast. But I was the fastest kid. I can't type for shit right even now to this day. But I always, you know, make fun of my dad because of that. But it gave him a really good career with Hershey Company. He ran the printing department after coming out of the mailroom at age 16. And he's the longest employee that Hershey ever had that had no college education. So he was there for his whole life. Just retired not too long ago when they changed everything at the factory there. My mom, she worked at Hershey Company also, but she was in the offices. She was one of the secretaries. So both my parents were Hershey Company people. I actually spent a little bit of time working for my father at, when I was 17, I had to get a job because I got my girlfriend pregnant. So
okay.
I had my first kid when I was a junior in high school. And it was like, okay, step up and get a job, earn some diaper money.
I was going to say, what were you thinking being that young? I shouldn't say it like that, but like, you know.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. No, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying, Sully. I was the only kid coming to soccer practice with a car seat in the back of the Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody at, well, the 2-a-days during like summer, it would be like, we're going to go get something to eat or something between practices. And I was like, well, we can't take my Jeep because I got a car seat in the back.
Right.
So we always take somebody else's car. It made me grow up quick. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me, I think, because I knew I wasn't really planning on going to college. So it wasn't like that interfered with, you know, my, where I was going to do in my future here. So yeah, when I had him in 11th grade, it made me, you know, just open my eyes and say, okay, it's time to start getting to work.
Yeah.
At that time, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I needed to get some type of paycheck. So I actually worked for my dad at the Hershey print shop in the Hershey company. So I worked there for about 5 years. And then they have a rule that your direct supervisor cannot be in relationship to you. So I could not work underneath my father, be a full-time employee. So he's like, look, you got to find something to do. You got to go do something else. So one thing led to another, and I found the fitness industry. So that's where kind of got me in that direction.
Okay. And shout out to your dad, Bob.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
Because it's funny when I said, yeah, I got this Lonnie Wamscher coming on. I never really met him in person. Like, I've always heard about you. But anyway, I never met you. And I was telling my grandfather, who's 86, Pat, and then my father, I'm interviewing this Lonnie Wamscher. Well, that's got to be Bob Wamscher's son, and from the Hershey print shop, because we, you know, back then did a lot of printing for him that he would outsource.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just, what a small world.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, well, it is crazy, and like I said, he's worked there his whole life from 16 years old till retirement, so he knows everybody when it comes to this industry. So yeah, it was really cool to, you know, meet with your dad before we got into this room, and just touch base.
But yeah,
awesome. Yeah. Small world.
It is small world. So having your son real young, you know, you kind of had to step up, obviously, at a young age. Did you ever feel like, you know, you missed out or, you know, you said college was never in the cards. You weren't ever thinking about college.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a big school guy. I got straight C's just so I could play sports.
Okay.
And I never tried to excel with the grades or anything. It was all about just staying eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And my coaches would, you know, make sure that I was eligible. So they'd, like, if I had to get extra credit or something like that, you know, they'd pull some strings to make sure that I was passing so I could play. But I never really was that books guy. You know, I never really was worried about my grades or anything other than just so I could play sports. So funny thing is that my best class was always gym class, right? So I always
aced gym class. If it wasn't, I'd be worried.
Yeah, what's funny is to this day, my high school gym teacher is a member of mine at my Palmyra location.
No way.
So it's funny because I get to see him working out like a machine every morning. He's there early, like 5 a.m. But it's funny to, you know, to kind of look back and say, that was a class that I really enjoyed. And I never knew that the gym would be my business.
Yeah,
you know
seriously,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, who was the coach?
It was Bob Wilson. So Mr. Wilson was my gym teacher. And he's still jacked. He's still in good shape.
Really?
In there running the treadmill. He's like a machine.
Getting after it.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. So you were fast. You said you played soccer, right? Any other sports? Track? Do you ever?
Yeah, track was my thing. So I lettered track and I lettered in soccer. I was always a sprinter. So the 100, 200, 4x1. I was always the lead on the relays. But yeah, I was always the fastest kid in class. and I always played front line on soccer, so most of the time center striker.
Well, you're moving.
And then I was the captain of the soccer team. And actually, my soccer coach is a member here at the Lebanon gym. So I get to see all these guys that kind of had a little bit to do with, you know, me growing up and just being good leaders that I got to look up to. But, yeah, Coach Davis is one of my members at the Lebanon location. I get to see him all the time. And still to this day, it's just something in my – in my blood that you can't call these guys by their name. They're it's always coach.
Yeah. It's a respect thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So when I see him come, I'm like, hey, what's up, coach?
Yeah.
Oh, and, he's just a good guy. So like I said, I was lucky to have good leaders, in my sports and teaching, you know, in high school that, kind of steer you in the right direction.
So at what part did, you know, the fitness industry get into your life? At what point were you like, you know what, I'm gonna try this fitness thing.
Yeah, so yeah. I remember very clearly, like I was working at a warehouse and, you know, just, again, just to get a paycheck. And the girl that I was talking to at the time, she, you know, after I would get off work, I'd go to the gym and work out. Because coming from sports, once you don't have that in your life anymore, like you're missing that activity and you need to find something to fill those, you know, the void. So it was go to the gym, start working out. I had a buddy that got me into like bodybuilding and kind of showed me the ropes. So we'd go to work, come home, 5 o'clock, go to the gym, you know, get your workout in. And one thing led to the next. This girl's like, well, you go to the gym every night. Why don't you just work at the gym? And I was like, I never even thought about that. And this was like 1998, which this guy is now one of my best friends. Desmond McTavish was opening up Gold's Gym here in Lebanon. And I was like, they're opening up Gold's Gym in Lebanon? And she's like, yeah, you should go apply. So I came down, applied, got hired, just part-time, doing something in the evening, worked like three nights a week, 15 hours a week, and one thing led to another. I ended up taking over the management position, then started managing several locations from Lebanon to Camp Hill to Carlisle, Harrisburg. So really got my foot in the door with the fitness and was able to do it full-time. And it wasn't even like going to work. It was something I enjoyed doing. I got to work out at work. I got to, you know, spend time with people and get to see people making difference in their life for the good. Long story short, the gyms changed hands like three different times. So Desmond sold it. The next person bought it. They sold it again. So what I've learned during that is that every time that gym gets sold, the next person has deeper debt to fill.
Right, yeah.
So the last guy that bought it, didn't do a very good job with it and ran it into the ground, didn't pay the bills, and the sheriff showed up to shut the doors.
Okay.
So just to backtrack a little bit, at this point, I'm married now, not to the girl that told me to get into the fitness industry, but fell in love. My wife is pregnant with my daughter that's now 20. I come to work that day, the sheriff shows up to shut the doors.
And, what are you thinking? Yeah.
Oh my God, it was a crazy day. Because at this point, I worked out that I owned the juice bar inside Gold's Gym. So I was owner operator of the juice bar. So the whole like supplements, clothing, all the cooler drinks, everything was me personally. I was renting the space from the third owner.
Okay.
So when this guy shows up, the sheriff is like, I'm here to shut the doors because, you know, this guy's like $90,000 in back rent.
Oof.
And I said, what?
Yeah.
And I looked at the guy, I said, well, you're not shutting the doors until I get all my stuff out of here. And he's like, no, you're not allowed to do that. And I said, look, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, I'm getting my stuff out of here. The juice bar is mine. And either you can let me get everything out of here now, or I'm going to come back after you leave and I'm break the door down. I'm going to take my stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and he's just looking, he's an older guy. He's just looking at me like, what the shit? And like all my members are like, what's going on? Because the sheriff is there.
Right.
I said, told him what's going on. And I said, look, I need you guys to help me get all this shit out of here. So we threw it in the back of my pickup truck. I went home knowing that my wife at the time, she's pregnant. She comes home from work and my garage is just filled with everything.
So all
my
inventory. What's going on here?
Yeah. What is going on? I said, they just came in and locked the gym down. Like he's $90,000 in debt. Didn't pay the rents, which pissed me off because I was paying my rent. I was paying $1,000 a month just for the juice bar space.
Yeah.
Which really is nothing compared to what he was paying for the whole space. But still, I was responsible.
Right.
And this, you know, kind of turns around and stabs me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
You get screwed.
So, yeah, my wife's like, she's pregnant. She's like, what are you going to do? I said, oh, my God, I don't know. I'm thinking about this all day. I was like, I think I'm just going to open my own gym. So the gym that I worked for in Harrisburg, the Gold's Gym there, they moved out of the Lower Paxton Shopping Center there up on 22. And they moved to a new location, built a new building. So that space was vacant. I knew it had locker rooms. I knew it had pretty much everything set up to be a gym. It just needed to be a little bit of TLC. Like it was pretty run down. So I was like, well, I'm going to go get a hold of that landlord and see if I can't get the keys to that place and lease it. Right.
Yeah.
So one thing led to another, went back to Desmond and I said, look, this is what I'm thinking. He kind of coached me through everything. I went up and it was basically, you need the first month's rent, last month's rent to get the keys.
Okay.
Now, I don't have that kind of money laying around. It was like $24,000.
Damn.
So at the time, my townhouse that I had, I contacted a bank. I said, how much equity do I have? I had like $30,000 in equity. So I took that out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to write the biggest check of my life. I remember sitting in the parking lot and this guy's, like where they were out in Harrisburg, where the person took care of the mall was. And I'm writing this check for like $24,000+. I'm like, oh my God. And this is just to get the keys.
Yeah, yeah.
This doesn't mean
this is a risk.
That I'm going to make
this
it.
This is a big risk, yeah.
So I went in and I got it. I did it. I said, screw it. Here it is. Took the keys, went over there, opened that place up. And I was like, what a shithole.
Yeah.
And yeah, just started getting to work, man. Just tearing out carpet, painting, building a new juice bar. And then it was, you know, getting equipment. So you had to buy equipment, which you're talking about over $300,000 worth of equipment.
Damn.
Instantly, wow. We started a pre-sale. So normal, you would run a three-month pre-sale
okay.
when you're getting ready to open up a new facility. So at that time, you can at least start collecting money and getting members signed up. So when you open your doors, hopefully in 3 months, you're going to have, you know, hopefully 1,000 members that you can open your doors and you're going to generate money.
Right.
Now, you can't start billing those people until you open your doors, right? So we're running a pre-sale. My dad's up there hanging out with me, having a good time. My brother was working with me at the time. So my brother and I are doing the construction, and my dad's working with the pre-sale office. It was actually a good time, as much as I was stressed out of my mind because, hell, I didn't even have enough money to pay the credit card that I was using to put gas in my truck to get to Harrisburg every day.
Yeah.
So it was stressful.
Wow.
But long story short, we got financed for the equipment. We opened the doors 6 months later, not 3 months, because okay. we had enough money that we could get the strength training equipment ordered, but the most expensive stuff is the cardio. So we didn't have enough money to get the cardio ordered.
That's what I figured, yeah.
So I just kept putting it off. I was like, well, the strength's here. If you guys want to start working out to members that were like itching to get in there, I said, you guys can start using the strength training. I'm not going to activate your membership, but we really can't get the cardio in for another couple months. So long story short, 6 months later, we opened the doors. And first year in there, I didn't even make it 1 year, 11th month in there, the guys that owned the World Gym up by the East Mall,
yeah,
those guys wanted me gone because I was killing it.
Yeah.
I was taking all the members.
Oh, nice.
We were destroying it. And I really wanted to come back to Lebanon. You know, I wanted to be down here where I knew everybody. Not that I didn't love, you know, being up in Harrisburg. I just wanted to get back to Lebanon. Just to backtrack a little bit. When that sheriff came and locked that door in Lebanon, I was smart enough to print out the entire database of membership because I knew I wanted to come back in here.
Wow.
So I had everybody's address, everybody's name, everything printed out, and I was sitting on it for about a year. And also at that time in Lebanon, I did contact the landlord here at the Lebanon place, and Ken, the landlord, he was in New York, he said, Lonnie, he goes, you got to pay that $90,000 if you want to keep the doors open. I said, that's not my $90,000 debt. That's this last guy.
Yeah.
I said, I'll give you a first month rent right now and last month rent.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just keep it going. And he said, no, you gotta pay that.
Pay that.
I said, well,
off.
I'm not gonna do it. He goes, what are you gonna do? And I said, well, I'm gonna go open a gym in Harrisburg. He goes, no, you're not. Well, if you're anything like me, Sully, when someone tells you can't do it, you definitely get a little fire under your ass because you're like, don't tell me I can't do something. So that pretty much is probably the reason I walked in that office and spent that money to get the keys to that place because this guy down here in Lebanon saying, I'm not going to do it.
That's all you needed right there. Boom.
Exactly.
It's on.
Yeah, long story short, 11 months in, I finally agreed on terms to sell the Harrisburg location to the Kinder brothers that owned the World's Gym up in Harrisburg. Came back to Lebanon, contacted the mall. I bought all the equipment that was left behind and then remodeled the Lebanon location. Got the keys to the Lemon location, got in there and contacted everybody that was on my list from the old memberships.
What a smart play.
And I tell you what, about 90% of those people came back.
Wow.
And joined again. Yeah. So I was lucky, man. We opened up the Lebanon gym, just thriving because everybody was happy to have the gym back.
Right.
And then I was there since day one. So everybody knew me and trusted me. So,
well, yeah, the fact that you said like roughly 90% came back, that says a lot about you as a person, you as a trainer, you know, as a business owner. Right. They trusted you. They saw something in you, because you know when I feel like when you pick a gym, you know, you commit to that, and you know you're paying into that because you believe in it, right? And you see something in it like that'll bring out the best in you. So you're all in. So you know, the fact that they came and were like, you know what, yeah, let's get back into this, you know, it's huge, I think. Let me ask you this. Do you think some of the motivation for getting into fitness, opening up the gym, do you think that stems back to your sister and seeing your mom, you know, she had, we say, you know, like a childhood diabetes. Do you think that resonates there?
A little bit, you know, a little bit. My sister wasn't quite as athletic as I was. She did spend a lot of time in the hospital. So I think taking care of yourself was always important to me. You know what I mean? Just, I was never in a sense overweight growing up because I was always active running around, but just, it was really to fill that hole from sports, but it led into taking better care of yourself, and which I've seen my decline in my sister, which she passed away in 2017, but I would make her, the Palmyra dialysis was right next to the Palmyra gym, and she did work for me at the Lebanon location. So a lot of people might know Kelly from the Lebanon gym. But once her health got a little bit worse, you know, she wasn't able to work anymore. But the last couple of years of her life, she would go to Palmyra dialysis, and I would tell her, when you're done there, you're coming over here to work out.
Yeah.
You know, and the last thing, I've never had dialysis, but I've seen her go through it. I've seen people that do go to the dialysis center next to our gym in Palmyra, the shape that they're in. Mm-hmm. And the last thing they probably feel like doing after sitting in dialysis for 5 hours is going to work out. But she knew, as you know, she was 2 years older than me, but she knew that, like, I'm coming to get you. You're going to get over here. So she would come over in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I'd take her through workouts, put her on battle ropes, make her do all kinds of planks and all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And she hated it. I have videos that still of her working out in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I really truly think that I got a couple more years out of her just because of keeping her active.
Right. Yeah. By being there for her, you know. Yeah. Wow. So I'm sorry to hear it.
Yeah.
You know.
No, hey, I knew when we were kids, you know, the timeline on her life that I'm going to outlive her. But she did really good. You know, I mean, she did really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your family's so, it's everything, right? I mean, they're your rock, you know. Now, some people aren't close with their parents or their families, you know, their siblings. But, like, you know, yeah, I think about that, you know, a lot because, you know, they're your rock for me, at least. Yeah. I'm sure some listeners are probably like, no, you know, they're not close with their parents. But, like, I feel like for a majority of people, like, that's your rock. Those are the first people that believe in you, that encourage you, whether it's in sports,
that's right.
You know, whether it's in life, starting your own business. You know, a lot of times they're the first people that'll listen to a guy doing a podcast that has no business doing it, you know.
Hey, they're your cheerleader, right? I always say this, like, how great, you know, coming up from playing sports, how great would it be if we all had just a cheerleader that followed us around all day long? Like, you're doing a great job brushing your teeth. You know what I mean? Like, life would be things. So much.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you did a great job putting your shoes on.
Yeah.
Just stupid stuff. You know what I mean? But I think about that.
Right.
And that's kind of the industry I live in, is that we're someone's cheerleader. And that's like when they come through the door, you know, we're there for them. We're there to help them.
Yeah.
And that's what our, like, my slogan is, and you could ask my whole team. I have 3 locations, and we use an app that we communicate to keep everything up to speed, day-to-day operations. And pretty much probably every time I post something, it's help someone new today. And it doesn't mean help someone new in our club. It means help someone new somewhere. Like, I don't care if you're at the grocery store and, you know, a senior has a shopping cart and you're grabbing it for her to put it away because it's going to be a long walk for her to put that cart back. Or if it's holding the door, you know, just stupid little things in life that we probably don't think about.
Yeah.
I want my team to think about that stuff, that we want to try to find someone new that we can help, no matter what it is. And it's not the same person every day. Someone that you don't know their name, you know, learn their name and find out, you know, how their day's going. You know, how's the workout going? Are you getting what you want out of this? So it's always help someone new.
I like that. I like that slogan a lot. Plus, like you said, just holding the door for somebody. They're going through a rough day, rough time or something. By you saying, hey, how you doing, or how's the workout going, or holding the door, those small gestures, like, could change someone's whole day, you know, their whole mood.
And you never know what anybody's going through, you know what I mean? Someone, you have no idea, you know, what someone's going through in their day. So if they're pissed off and they're angry, they might have a reason to be pissed off and angry. But if you can be nice to that person, there's only good karma that comes back around.
Oh, 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. So New York Fitness Clubs.
Yep.
That was right off the jump. That was the name you went with?
Yeah. So there's a little backstory. Yeah, no, that's a good question. This is probably something that I get asked most about is why the name. So yeah, when I started my own thing, it was one of my calls. It's not going to be, you know, Lebanon Fitness or Palmyra Fitness or Lonnie's Gym. So I always wanted this image of that it was a franchise. You know, I didn't want people to know it was just me, that I founded it, that I'm the one that came up with the name. I wanted them to think, man, like, there's security behind us because this is a franchise. You know, this is New York Fitness. Holy hell.
Yeah.
Like, we're safe here. Like, they're not going to go out of business. They're going to be around for a long time. How the name kind of came upon it was, you know, we have LA Fitness over here in our area, which, you know, it's West Coast. Like, stay over there. This is East Coast.
Right. Okay.
So I'm like, LA Fitness. I'm like, why the hell are they even here? Like, that's all. They should stay in California.
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking, like, what's a big city around us? And obviously, if you're from this area, you know, we're not that far from New York City.
Yeah.
And I think most everybody in our area has been to New York City at least one time in their life. So I'm thinking New York. I'm like, there's no way that name is available. So I reached out to my attorney. File papers. He called me back. He said, Lonnie, he goes, New York Fitness is available. I said, you got to be shitting me. I was like, are you serious? No one's using that name in New York? And he's like, no. I said, well, I want it.
That's wild.
So, my dad's team came up with the logo. So the city logo, they designed that at the print shop up there and trademarked it.
That's awesome.
And now I'm telling the story of, no, man, this is not a franchise. They're like, are you allowed to paint that wall black? There's a franchise. You know, does corporate allow you to paint that wall black?
I can do whatever
I want. I am corporate, man. I am corporate.
You're talking to corporate.
Yeah, I was like, I can paint whatever wall, any color I want.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, I mean, and you have three locations, Lebanon, Palmyra, and then E-Town, Elizabethtown.
Yep. Right, I did have one in Mechanicsburg. Actually sold that, and the guy kept the name New York Fitness, and now he couple years ago sold that location and I think he moved to Aruba or something, but so that one's no longer New York Fitness. But so we got Elizabethtown, Palmyra, and Lebanon.
So when I first heard about New York Fitness, again, I didn't know you or anything else, but, like, you know, looking for gyms or whatever it was, I can't remember exactly, but I was like, New York Fitness, my mind right away went to, oh, it's a franchise, must be corporate offices in New York or something,
right?
Because
right.
You know, I didn't take the time to look and see how many locations or anything. I was just like, oh, New York Fitness. So that's you. You're New York Fitness.
Yeah, exactly. 2004 was when I founded that, and that was the same year my daughter was born. So, since 2004. So we're actually 20 years in business. This December will be 20 years in business.
That's awesome.
I never thought this far down the road. You know what I mean? It was like, All right, I gotta do something after they closed that gym. Let me start my own gym. Once I got that going and was pretty successful, my next step was, you know, what are you gonna do now? And I was told by somebody I needed to have 5 locations to start franchising, which isn't true.
Okay.
So I was just busting my balls to try to get to 5 locations. So, because my goal was like, I'm going to franchise this. Like, this name's great. We have great sales systems. Yeah. We have great systems in place. I'm going to help someone else. And so I was trying to get to 5. We got the 4 locations. And then I found out that you don't need to have any locations to franchise. You can just come up with a good idea and try to franchise it. Obviously, it's going to be pretty difficult to do. It's a lot easier now that we have 20 years in this game that I can say to franchises, like, hey, we've been in business for 20 years. This is our background. This is what we do. These are our sales systems. This is how we operate. This is, you know, the POS, the point of sale, everything. So that's where I'm at now, Solly, is I'm trying to get this baby franchised. Last week I had a meeting with a guy in, believe it or not, Long Island, right?
What?
So we're taking New York Fitness back to New York. Hopefully. Hopefully. So
that's awesome.
So my goal is to help as many people, you know, whether it's our members here, our local team, or whether it's reaching out to maybe guys that already have fitness facilities that are struggling, you know, get them on board with New York Fitness, or someone that, like this guy, he's not in the fitness industry, builds, I believe it was skyscrapers in Manhattan, right? Wow. So he just wants to get in the fitness industry. So helping someone like that really doesn't have any experience and allow me to, you know, teach you by the 20 years that I put in this, 20 years plus, because I was with Golds for about 5 years. So I've been in the game for a long time with the fitness industry. So just, you know, I would love to help someone, you know, get a business launched and get it started.
And they say the proof is in the pudding, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, look, you've been doing it for 20 plus years. You figured it out, right? Knock on wood, you got a system that works. You have it down pat. So it's a procedure, right? So now you can go, like you're saying, and franchise it to people that might not even know, like this gentleman builds skyscrapers, you know, but he wants to get into fitness. You have the blueprint, right? You have right. the key, and it's like, all right, but be on my team and let's yep. let's go, you know. Let's
make and that's this work. The thing yeah. With you know, obviously you can go out and start a gym just like I did, but when you're purchasing a franchise, you're pretty much investing in the 20 years of mistakes and all the hurdles that I've gone through. And you're saving time. You're getting right to it, you know, knowing what's going to work and what's not going to work. Obviously, this industry, along with probably most industries during COVID, was a mess. Obviously, they wanted us to be sick and out of shape. Mm-hmm. So gyms were a no-go. But, you know, you could go to restaurants right. and, you know, eat outside or whatever. But you couldn't
Walmart.
Work out.
Yeah, you go to Walmart. But you can't work out and get yourself in better shape and better health to combat this. That's funny. It's funny you mention that because I want to bring up, and I can't remember the gym name in New Jersey. Man, it's a big guy with a big beard.
Ian Smith.
Yeah, Ian Smith.
Yeah. Atlas.
Atlas. That's yeah, it. I think it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Where they were, you know, shut him down and they locked the doors and him and his business partner tore the locks off, opened the gym, you know. And I think they even did all the procedures necessary to have it open, like air filters.
Yep.
You know, this was like prime COVID. And they still were locked out and threatened by, you know, the New Jersey, I guess, government.
Dude, they froze his bank accounts. And took his money.
Is that how far they went?
$150,000 out of his bank account.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they tried. And that was all money that he earned pretty much from, like, donations during COVID and like, T-shirt sales and stuff like that. That I had some of my members drive all the way to New Jersey just to support him to work out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, this is great. We opened up our doors early, too. Yeah, so the police, you know, we have a lot of police officers that work out at the club and probation officers, and we love all of them. And I had a phone call at my Palmyra office saying that, hey, Lonnie, we have to let you know that someone reported that you opened. Are you open? I said, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And he said, look, we're not doing anything about it. We just have to let you know that someone called to report it. And I said, that's fine. No worries. One thing led to another. I remember the day, like it was yesterday, I went over to Walmart to get some new shower curtains for the showers.
Okay.
And, you know, there's people walking around with masks. Now, I didn't make anybody wear a mask. When they came to work out, it was, if you want to wear one, wear one. If you don't want to, we're not enforcing it.
Yeah, which real quick, isn't that wild? Like, okay, you got to wear a mask in a gym where you're already, like, you know, trying to breathe because you're running, working out. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
None of this shit made sense back then, right? And this is all
new
to us. So, you know, it was kind of new territory that we really didn't know what was up, what was down.
Yeah.
But think about the stupid rules of, you know, if you're going out to eat, you had to wear your mask to your table. But as soon as you sat down at a table and you had food on your table, you couldn't get COVID no more.
You're good, you could take it off. Yeah.
So
it's wild.
Yeah,
wild
to exercise with a mask on and sweat and not be able to breathe, it just wasn't happening. And I was so sick of living in this world with masks.
Oh, yeah.
I was totally against the masks. And so when people came in with a mask on and they seen that we didn't have a mask on, they would say, do we have to wear this? And I said, it's up to you. You don't have to if you don't want to. And they would take it off, literally cry. And say,
I believe it.
This feels normal again. And crying, and they'd say, can I hug you? And I say, of course.
Yeah.
So social distancing really wasn't going on. I wasn't worried about it. You know what I
mean? Right.
Because if you're healthy, your body can fight off a lot of different things. And I knew most of our members that come in there have taken good care of themselves. They were healthy, and they need this. And I had so many conversations with people that were in depression, suicidal, because physical fitness is medicine, right? A lot of people back in the day, like the Arnold days, most people that worked out wanted to look better naked, right? They want to look better in the mirror. Nowadays, that's not what we have. We're dealing with a lot of people that need this just for mental health reasons, anxiety, more energy, just want to live longer, like the baby boomers.
Yeah.
These guys don't want to die. They want to live forever. So they're exercising because they know they want to have more energy, and they don't care. I'm sure they wouldn't mind looking better naked, but they're not. That's not why they're coming to the gym, right? They're coming because they want to have energy. They want to feel better. And they want to keep up with the grandkids, right? When they go on family vacations, they don't want to have to be the person that's sitting on a bench saying, hey, I need a timeout. They want to be able to continue to move with the family. So, yeah, people that are joining gyms nowadays are different than the people from back in like the 70s, 80s. These are people that just want to live longer and feel better.
Yeah. And I didn't know, and did I cut you off? I think you're going somewhere with the Walmart thing or...
Oh, yeah. So that day that I went to Walmart to get, you know, shower curtains, I was really the guy that didn't want to wear a mask. So if I went to Lowe's or went to Walmart, I wasn't wearing one. I just kept away from people. So I came back, Lebanon Club called me, said, hey, Department of Health is here. At the time, we had tanning beds, and the Department of Health would oversee the tanning bed records. You can't tan within 24 hours. It's against the law. So if you tan today at 3:30, you have to wait till 3:30 tomorrow.
Okay.
If you tanned at 3 o'clock, like, we could get in huge trouble. I don't know what would happen, but yeah. it's against the law. Okay. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Then they put a sales tax in on tanning. So you had to pay 6% on sales tax. Because one of my memberships gave free tanning, they wanted me to pay 6% sales tax on every membership. I said, no, you're getting it wrong. This is Department of Health. Like, yeah. I was ready to fight this guy in the parking lot.
I believe it.
He didn't know it, but I was ready to. I said, no, this is a gym membership that you get tanning with. This is not a tanning membership that you get a gym. Like, good our point. Tanning yeah. square footage was like 1,000 square feet compared to 20,000 square feet.
Right.
Of gym. So the guy's like, well, you have to have, what was it going with this? You have to have the records. You have to have the sales tax. We won the sales tax thing, and you have to now pay a registration fee. Like your car, we have to pay a registration fee for every tanning bed. So the Lebanon location had 6 tanning beds. Palmyra and E-Town had 3 each.
Okay.
So it was only like $175 or $200 or something like that, but it adds up.
Right, right, right.
For a small business, I said to your dad earlier, I said, he said, how's business? I said, well, fitness is not an all-you-can-eat buffet. People aren't lined up at the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not an all-you-can-eat thing.
I
like,
see what you're saying.
Like, yeah. to get people through the fitness door is a little bit different than a buffet.
Right.
I said, but we're doing good. So anyways, back to the tanning, the guy just said, well, if you don't like it, then sell the beds. I said, I will. So I sold all the beds, got rid of them, and no tanning beds. So this guy comes down to the Palmyra location to check the tanning records. And he walks in. Of course, I don't have a mask on. And he goes, where's your mask? I said, I don't have one. What do you want? And I knew who he was. And he said, well, I'm here to check the tanning bed records. I said, go ahead. They're over there. This is before I end up selling all the beds. And he says, okay. He goes, well, I noticed no one's wearing a mask in here. Like, everybody exercising. No one had a mask. And I said, no, they're not.
They're free. Yeah.
And he goes, it's a law. I said, no, it's not a law.
Yeah.
It's not a law. He goes, yes, it is. So he started arguing. I said, look, what do you want? You can leave. Like, you don't have to be here. Right. Get out.
You're an adult. If you don't like,
so get out. Yeah. So I told all the team, I said, look, if that guy comes back, do not stop selling him a membership until he walks out the door. And we're not like that. We're not high pressure sales.
Yeah.
It's trial memberships and everything. But I was like, look, that guy there, you have the right. Just don't stop talking about which membership do you want, because I can't stand that guy. So long story short, he goes, well, I'm just going to tell my higher ups. I said, well, then do what you got to do, because we're not. He goes, are you going to enforce masks? I said, no. He said, okay, I'm going to tell my higher-ups. So I got a letter from Levine. Basically said, for every day that I did not enforce the mask, it was 30 days in jail per location. And it was, I think it was $300 fine per location. So $900 a day, and I could do 30 days in jail for every day. And I told my wife, this is around Christmas time. I said, hey, you might be doing Christmas alone this year, because I might be in jail. And I will go to jail for this, because this is out of control now, and we need to stand and take a stand. Needless to say, nothing ever came out of it. I have the letter somewhere. I'm going to keep it and give it to my grandkids when they go to order. I'm like, look at this shit Grandpa went through.
Seriously,
So, yeah, so it was a crazy time.
Crazy.
We made it through. But that's something that, again, investing in a franchise, hopefully we'll never have to go through anything like this again.
Yeah.
But that's experience that you're paying for. You know what I mean? So just another benefit of having a franchise.
Yeah. And what's your wife's name real quick?
Janine.
Shout out to Janine.
Yeah.
So, like, wow. So you're kind of like Ian Smith on a local level. Now, they didn't take it as far as New Jersey did, but, like, man, what? So I got to ask you, when you got that letter, you know, obviously you're fully committed. Hey, I'm willing to go to jail, whatever I got to do. But, like, what was going through your mind? Like, you know, what were your people, your employees saying?
I mean, honestly, Sully, at that point, I was so pissed off about everything that was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have known from day one that, you know, the 14-day shutdown, and I was like, well, 14 days, we can make it. You know what I mean? We'll be all right. And then it just kept going on and on. I was like, this is out of control. And then the more people that were reaching out to me on the back end saying, hey, Lonnie, can I just sneak in the back door? Literally suicidal, fully depression.
Wow.
And I was like, this is out of control. Like, this is affecting people's lives. You know what I mean? They're stuck in these houses.
Right.
They can't do nothing. They're covering their face.
Yeah.
Like, human beings, we're supposed to be productive. We're supposed to be social.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every day you gotta have something to live for, right? And we didn't. At that time, everybody was just depressed. So I said, you know what? Enough's enough. I reached out to the team. I said, look, we're going to reopen the doors. I understand if you don't want to come back to work, let me know.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. And Actually, that's when my daughter started working for the company. She was, Dad,
really?
I'll manage. I'll work. I'll do whatever. She was 16. And this was her second job. She worked at Hershey Park. But she said, she was, Dad, I'll work. I said, you want to work at the gym? Yeah. She wasn't like a gym rat. You know what I mean? Okay. She wasn't even that great at sports at the time or anything. Yeah, so yeah. I was like, you want to work at the gym? She's like, yeah.
Coming out of left field. You're like, really?
Right, yeah. And you know what? She's killing it. She loves it.
Great.
She's now a gym rat. She's a little fitness chick.
Yeah.
And just, she'll be at that gym 12 hours a day. She loves it. So
wow.
One of the best things that came out of the COVID was my daughter coming and working for the company, yeah. Which 20 years ago, I didn't know when, you know, she was in her mother's stomach that this was going to be something that she was going to do hopefully for life. And that just gave me a new fuel. You know, now that I have family working, you know, hopefully I can grow the franchise inside. She can take over the corporate stuff. And who knows where this thing's going to go.
Yeah. And you two can bond over, you know, it makes your relationship even stronger. So when, you know, somebody first walks in to a New York fitness club, you know, what is it like? What are they going to experience, and how do they become a member? Like, walk us through that process.
Yeah. So joining a gym is probably the most difficult thing for a lot of people. I remember, well, one of the things at Gold's Gym when I worked there was their logo was a bodybuilder, right? This big bald head muscle guy.
Yeah.
And that's why I had friends that would say, Lon, I can't come to Gold's Gym to work out. I need to get in shape before I go there because, you know, our image was a bodybuilder. And I was like, dude, this is Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Like, you don't have to get in shape before you come here. Like, this is Dutch County. Right. You know what I mean? Like, we like our potatoes and meat. And they're like, no, man, if I walk in there, like, I'm going to be the only guy. I said, trust me, the people you see at your grocery store are the people you're going to see inside our walls. This is not Venice Beach, California, where everybody's just jacked and beautiful. Not that Lebanon County people aren't jacked and beautiful. There's some out there, but we're a melting pot, right? We got a little bit of everything.
Exactly.
All ages, all fitness levels. So the hardest thing is opening that door. And I tell people every time when they come in, I said, you know what, the hardest thing that you're going to do in this gym, I said, is that front door. That's the heaviest thing. That's going to be the heaviest thing you lift is opening that door to get in here. Because once you get in here, we got you. We got your back.
Yeah.
The energy, the motivation of everybody else. And like I said earlier, it's not all about looking, you know, better naked. It's about living a healthier life and having more energy and feeling good. So when you first come through the door, you know, the front desk is right there. Someone's going to meet and greet you. They're going to ask, you know, what brings you in today? Obviously, you're interested in membership. We're going to give you a tour of the facility, talk to you a little bit about what your goals are. You know, what brings you in? Because most of those people out here that come through that door, they just didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to join a gym today.
Yeah.
This is shit that's going through your mind for, honestly, possibly years.
Right.
You'd be like, man, I drive past that New York Fitness every day. I should get a membership. Oh, my belt loop. My belt's getting, you know, bigger.
Pants size
up. My pants
are
getting bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
gotta do something about
this. My wife doesn't find me sexy no more.
Yeah.
That does have a little bit something to do with it.
Yeah.
So it's something that you've been thinking about more than just that morning. Nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to join a gym, and it goes join the gym. This is something that you process over time. So the first thing, one of the first questions we ask somebody is, how long have you been thinking about coming in? And it's normally a long time. And then we want to know, like, what's a long time?
Yeah.
Like a week? And they're like, oh, no. Like, what's a long time? Like a month? They're like 5 years. I've been driving by here for 5 years. I said, finally, you opened a door and you came in. And I give them a high five. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're done thinking about it, man. Here
Let's
you
go.
Are. You
Let's
did
go.
It.
Yeah.
And then we just find out a little bit more about, like, what they're looking for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is it something that you just need more energy? Is it something that is more maybe from the doctor? Like, hey, you have diabetes. Or you have, you know, high blood pressure. We want to know what brings you in and why. You know, what's your reason? What's your X and Y factor, right? And it could be just, I want to lose weight. And then we even take it a step further. We don't know why you want to lose weight. There's a reason that you decided you want to lose weight. Either you may have gotten a divorce. You may have went to the doctors and he said, hey, you're obese. You need to freaking lose some weight. We want to know what it is. You may have a guys trip coming up, and you guys are going to Cancun, and you know the boys from college are all in shape, and you've been letting yourself slack. And you're like, shit, man, I got to get shit
together.
So whatever it is, you know, we really truly want to know what brings you into our club, and then we go from there. You know, we try to figure out what's going to be the best membership option for you. You know, we are 24/7 operation.
Oh wow!
So we do have memberships that you can get in 24/7. You'd be amazed on how many people come in on holidays. Like Thanksgiving Day morning is one of our busiest days.
Really?
Because everybody's coming in to get their workout in.
Before they eat.
Of course.
Sense.
Before you
burn
eat.
The calories before you, yeah.
New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. I mean, we never close. And that just goes hand in hand with New York, right? It's the city that never sleeps. Or the club that never sleeps.
I like it, Lonnie.
So it's been quite the journey. And, you know, what really drives me is seeing people change, and not physically, but mentally. You see them coming through the door. They're smiling more. They're carrying themselves. Their head's a little higher. They just feel better, and you can see that right away. And that could be a week after joining. You know, you just see they have more energy. They feel better about themselves. That's one thing with working out is just the confidence level that you have, because you know you're doing something good for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell you that even though I'm a gym rat and I live in the gym, most of the time, I would say not most of the time, 50% of the time, I don't feel like working out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, my wife thinks I'm sick. I want to do it all the time. I said, no, I'm telling you, 50% of the time, I don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
But I know how good I feel when I'm done. Yeah, and some of the best workouts that you'll have are the ones you didn't want to do, because it's a pat on your shoulder saying, hey, even though you didn't want to do this, you did it. Mm-hmm. And it just feels good to do stuff that you don't want to do. So when you get it knocked off, it's like, man, I'm so glad I did it, and you feel better.
100%. It's I'd say like your swagger is up, you know, your swag.
Sure.
So you feel better, like you said, confident swagger. I went to Kutztown. I was a thrower, shot put and discus.
Yeah.
I love throwing. And, you know, we'd work out. I told myself, if I get this done, even 45 minutes, you know, just something quick in the morning, that can be the hardest part of your day, right?
Yep.
Is getting under that bench bar and knocking some out, getting on the treadmill for a 5-10 minute run, whatever it is, you know, something like that. So you get that done. Think about the rest of your day. You're not going to have to push, you know, what is it? 225 or whatever, right. You know,
you're not gonna... the hardest thing you do all day.
Yeah.
And the rest of the day is easy.
Easy. So, so do it. You know, it's different things that motivate you. Like I said, back in college, you know, wanting to look good, but now it's like, okay, family, you know, and you look at stuff like that. So yeah, it resonates with what you're saying. Yeah. Your confidence is
well, and that's you know, we all have, you know, excuses, right? And I'm not saying kids are excuses or work's an excuse or health reason or excuse, but what I've found and what I've learned through business is that comfort kills. Like that saying really never connected to me. Like that's, you know, I don't know, it's been around forever, right? Comfort kills. Comfort
kills. I've heard that.
That don't mean shit to me. Well, there was a time in my life where I was comfortable. I got comfortable. Like the gyms were doing great. Everybody was healthy. Everybody's doing great. I got comfortable and I pretty much took my foot off the gas pedal. Well, I can tell you from experience, if you don't have your foot on the gas pedal, whether it's your relationship, your job, your fitness, your family, your kids, there's no such thing as sitting still. You're either going forward or going backwards. So comfort, when I got comfortable, things started going downhill. Wrong managers got into place. You know, the numbers started going backwards. Mm-hmm. The reputation started failing. And I was like, whoa, something's got to change. And I was like, you know what? The problem is, it's me. I got comfortable and I stopped pushing forward. So the foot will never come off the gas pedal in any area of my life, because don't get comfortable, because it's the worst thing that happens. So even with our marriages, like I said, no matter if it's business, marriage, kids, family, whatever it is in your life, if there's any advice I can give anybody is don't get comfortable. And honestly, that's where there's a lot of divorces in you know, our world, is because people get comfortable. They take people for granted. They stop. Maybe when they first met, they were working out, taking care of themselves, looking better.
Mm-hmm.
Now they let themselves go. They got comfortable sitting on the couch, not taking care of themselves. No one's finding each other sexy anymore. That goes downhill real quick. And kids are, you know, full-time job too. So you have to make time for family, but you also have to make time for yourself. You got to take care of yourself before you can take care of anybody else. And that's just so true, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. It goes back to the airplane thing. You know what I mean?
Lonnie,
you
got
to put your mask on first.
You're right? In my head.
We're connected. Uh-huh. We're connected. Yeah. So it's just how life is. You got to look out for yourself, and it's not selfish. You have to put yourself first. You won't be there for your kids if you don't put yourself first.
Right.
You know what I mean? And your wife, you know, you got to put them in first before the kids, because when the kids are grown and they're out of the house, guess what? It's you and her now, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
If you guys are at each other's, you know, throat and the kids leave, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be together.
Yeah,
so you got to stick together. And like I said, just don't get comfortable.
A good way to look at it too is like, you're your own hero, right? In life, right? No one else is going to come save you or come help you. Sure, there's like, you might have a Robin, you know, and you're Batman in this scenario.
Sure, sure.
You know, and like a partner, again, friend, wife, whatever it may be, to encourage you and help you, you know, but it's like, you're your own hero.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. You gotta like, you got to like what you see in the mirror. You know what I mean? And you know, none of us are going to be models, but you got to like what you see, and you got to be able to look at yourself every day and say, you know what, you did the best you could do. Today's another day. So it's just, it's again, win the day. You know what I mean? Each day your 100% might be different. But give it as much as you can. You know what I mean? And when you go to bed at night, know that you did the best you could do.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Again, to go back to the club, what's all kind of the equipment that members can expect, or new members, you know?
Yeah. So we really, focus on individual fitness. We don't have a lot of group fitness classes. We do have a couple down here at the Lebanon location, but we're really focused on one-on-one training. Obviously what's going to work best for you may not work best for the next person. So everybody has different goals. Everybody has different backgrounds. Everybody has different fitness levels. So we really take it on a one-on-one focus. So no matter what membership they come in, even if they come in with just a 7-day trial, just to try us out, because we want you to try it before you buy it, because we might not be the best fit for you, depending on what your goals are. The club actually pays for an hour with the trainer. So no matter if you're on a trial membership or a short-term membership, when you come in, or a long-term membership, when you come in, the club's going to pay for an hour for you to sit down with a trainer, go over goals, go over maybe injuries that you might have, and just go over a background. And they'll actually take you out on the floor, show you how to work out, give an example of what it's like to work with a personal trainer. But inside our walls are basically, we have a ton of cardiovascular, so treadmills, bikes, elliptical, steppers, Summit trainers, all that good stuff that every gym should have. And then a lot of free weights. We have dumbbells up to, you know, over 100-pound dumbbells at all locations. So we have the heavier weights for the guys that can lift them. And then we have a ton of strength training machines. So we have a lot of Selectorize, which is like your life fitness, just where you're moving the pin to select the weight that you want.
Okay.
So full circuits of that. And then all your free weights, like your plate loaded stuff, if whoever's listening to this is a gym person, like your hammer strength stuff, all your plate loaded stuff, and then it's all your free weight Olympic stuff. So your Olympic benches, tons of cable systems. We have at each location, we have 3 different cable systems. So the multi gyms where you can do all types of cable crossover stuff. And then every location, because this is what kind of got me going, is the juice bars. You know, it's a very important thing for me to have inside the clubs. We have juice bars that it's really just a social area of the club. So you can sit down, get a protein shake after a workout, talk with the front desk staff, meet with a trainer, talk with them if you have any questions or concerns. But it's just a social area of the club. It's kind of like being at a bar, but there's no alcohol.
You're
sitting there and just hanging out
and
you know, enjoying just everybody's company. And I can say that Lebanon County, even though E-Town's in the Lancaster County, our facilities, everybody says this, it's like family, but I'm telling you, when you come to our clubs, you'll see how it is, because we actually know what's going on with you. We know, you know, if you're on vacation, we know what, you know, how was your vacation? We actually care. You are my family. Like, when you come into our house, it's like the first date you ever went on, right? When you take this girl to your house, you want her to feel comfortable. That's how we take every person that walks through that door. It's your first date with us, and we're going to get to know you, and we're going to show that we care.
And some of the amenities, like, do you guys have the TVs, showers, and did you bring the tanning beds back then?
Like, no, tanning beds are gone for good. We actually replaced the tanning beds here at the Lebanon location. If anybody's familiar with Next Level Barbershop, BJ in Orlando, they actually are operating out of the back of the New York Fitness Clubs now. So they have a barbershop set up where the old tanning beds were. They gutted it, set up the barbershop. So we actually have an in-house barbershop at the Lebanon location that's in the gym.
Oh, that's so awesome. I mean, it doesn't help me out, but that's awesome.
So they're kicking butt there. So yeah, Lebanon's got a barbershop. We have massage therapy inside all 3 locations.
Oh, wow.
Caitlin Oliver, she does all the massage therapy at all 3 locations. We also have chiropractor. So Dan Fields is in-house. He does chiropractic care inside our clubs. But yeah, I mean, just a really good one-stop shop for everything that we're trying to, you know, get as much as we can in there to take care of you, whether it's, you know, your chiropractic or massage or one-on-one personal training. We got everything, you know, everything to help you live a healthier life.
That's awesome. It's like kind of becoming a one-stop shop. So you're not just going for, you know, your fitness, but you can get your back cracked, whatever, you get your hair cut, beard trimmed.
Yep.
And I believe my friend from high school, and we were actually roommates at Kutztown, Mike Robinson, cuts hair there. I'm pretty sure at your...
Oh, I think he just started not too long ago. Great guy. Great guy. Yeah.
Good personality. Yeah, I think he's got two babies as well. Real good guy. He was. Yeah, always,
I think they have. He's probably the most recent barber they just brought in. I think they have either four or five barbers back there now. So, oh, nice. They're killing it, man. I just love having them in house because they're all good guys. And again, it's just helping someone new, right?
Yeah,
it's whoever you can meet that day to help.
Exactly, and they're always if you see them, let them know they can come on the podcast, share their story. Any of the barbers, you know, any of those guys. Yeah,
well, I talked to Orlando. They work out daily in the gyms too. So I'll talk to BJ and Orlando and let them know.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll definitely share this
That'd
with
be cool.
them.
Cool. What would you say are some life lessons that you want to leave with the listeners? You know, things that might benefit them from hearing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, not to go back, but like that comfort thing is one of the biggest life lessons that I've learned that I'll tell my kids and anybody, my friends, is just don't ever get comfortable. You know, matter what area of their life it is, whether it's their relationship, don't take anybody for granted. Whether it is your job or your fitness, like keep your foot on the gas pedal. It's probably the biggest lesson I can give, and just really just taking that step. You know what I mean? No matter what it is that you want to do, like for you, for this podcast, like you're killing it, but there's probably a time in your life you're like, man, I should do a podcast. And then it was fearful, right? You're like, oh man, this is scary.
Right.
I got to do a podcast. Everybody's scared to do something you haven't done before.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's starting your own podcast or if it's posting something on social media or if it's starting a new job or if it's asking that girl or guy on a date, like everybody's scared. We're all wired the same, right? So it's take the risk, man. The old saying again, no risk, no reward, right? You don't know unless you try. So just continue to put one foot in front of the other and take those baby steps and just, you know, life is short. So, you know, go after the things. If it comes through your mind, it's probably a sign that you should probably take action sooner or later.
And that's a great point because I feel like a lot of times, you know, people don't take that risk or that leap of faith and they don't put themselves out there, right? Maybe because they're afraid to be judged, you know, by others. And a lot of times it's like, hey, look, you only got one go around, right?
Yep.
So do it. Why not just do it? Try it. You know what I mean? What do you got to lose? Whether it's asking that girl, hey, you want to go on a date or starting a podcast or starting a YouTube channel, you know, whatever it is, getting in better shape. You know what I mean? If you don't do it now, are you going to look back and be like, damn, I should have done
that? Well, that's the thing, you know, what's the old tattoo, right? No regrets.
Yeah, no regrets.
No regrets, right? No regrets. So when you're in your deathbed or when you're in your last years of life, you want to sit back and say, man, I wish back when I left that Gold's Gym, I should have started my own gym. You know what I mean? For me, there was never a plan B, so there was no question. It was like, this was the only option I have. And that's my mentality to this day. Like, if New York Fitness doesn't work, there's nothing else.
You're all in.
I'm all in. And when your back's against the wall, guess what? That's when you fight the hardest. So if you just don't give up on your dreams, and really, I know a lot of people believe in a plan B, like have this backup plan. Every person I've ever been around that had that plan B, guess what they're doing? Plan B.
Plan B. Yeah.
I don't have a plan B. This is it. Like, New York Fitness is here to stay.
That's it.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah, franchise.
To the moon.
There's
to
no
the moon,
plan B.
Say,
So really, no plan B. Don't get comfortable. And, you know, just keep taking one step forward.
And if you had to shout out one mentor, who has been a mentor in your life, would you say?
Oh, man, it's probably my grandparents. Like, my grandfather, and I'll share this story real quick because I know we're getting up on time here. My grandfather, my Pappy Shank, so if you've ever seen the Shank feed mill trucks running around, the red trucks.
Yeah.
So he was entrepreneur, self-employed. Army guy. When he got out of the Army service, he started the Shank feed mill business and would go to the farms all here in Lebanon County and grind their feed and make feed for the cows, right? So this guy was 5'5", but I was scared to death of him.
Okay.
Scared to death. And he almost hit 100. He was just shy of 100 years old before he passed away, but his entire life he took care of himself. Never was in a home, was driving up until he's 95 years old, until like my aunts and uncles were like,
take the keys.
He's not driving no more.
You're done.
Mowing his own grass at 95 years old. But he probably just showed me what, in my eyes, like a real man, you know what I mean? Just worked his ass off. He would say that he will work as hard as any man, but he just wants to be home for dinner with his family. During the summer months, my grandmother would babysit me, and I was always scared to death of this guy. So the one time I broke this lamp and my grandmother said, she collected these like glass lamps or whatever. I knew I was in trouble when I broke it.
Yeah.
And I was like, please don't tell Pap. Please don't tell Pap. She didn't say she wasn't going to tell him. She didn't say she was going to tell him. So I had my fingers crossed. When he got home, first thing she said, look what Lonnie did. This lamp. He said he was going to lock me in the basement. Like, he, like, scared the shit out of me. I called my mom crying. That was the last day they babysat me because I was so worked up. I thought I was going to be locked in the basement and he's going to kill me. So I was always scared of this man. My hair was a little bit longer than 1 year. He said, well, you want to be a girl? Like, he was tough. He was just tough as nails. Tough as nails.
Yeah.
And just didn't take no shit. You know, military guy. Okay. Just hard as nails. So, as far as a mentor, he's that guy. And at 95, I remember we were at his birthday party. And I was always trying to absorb as much stories from this man because he had such a life of lessons to give me, from military to, you know, the Great Depression, everything this man had been through. And we'd always share stories. Just he and I would sit to the side. And I remember I leaned up in my chair and I looked at him and I said, Pat, I said, you're the only man. And this is true to this day. I ain't scared of nobody. I'm going to get my ass kicked probably, but I'm not scared of nobody. I was deathly scared of this man. I said, Pap, I used to be scared of you, but I think I can take you. This man at 95 years old leaned forward in his chair and looked me dead in my eyes, and he goes, you think? I was like, oh, shit, maybe not.
You better rethink that. Wow.
So, yeah, as far as just work ethic and showing that anything is possible, like what our grandparents went through back in the day is just a lesson in itself. You know, life was not easy, and yeah, just knowing that, you know, you can get whatever you want. You just might have to fight for it.
Awesome, Lonnie. So let me ask you this. The items you brought with, you got three different items here. Yep. Let's talk a little bit about those.
Yeah. So kettlebell that I have here is a great workout. Actually, somebody that's home that maybe can't afford a gym or, you know, can't find the time right now, which we've taken that out of your excuse because we're 24 hours. But anyways, if you can't get to the gym, the kettlebell is probably one thing you can have at home that you can do a ton of workouts. And one thing we're blessed with right now is the internet, that if you want to find workouts on there, you can go in there and find a ton of different workouts with kettlebells. So kettlebell is like a full body workout. You can do tons of different exercises, something really good for home use. And we have a set of them at each club too. The other thing, I just brought this plate with. And I brought the 10-pound because I didn't feel like carrying the 45-pound, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But free weights are really important. I know cardiovascular is everybody's, like, especially if your goal is, like, to lose weight. It's like, I'm going to go to the treadmill, and I'm going to go hit the treadmill for 30 minutes. I'm just focused on losing weight. I'm not trying to build muscle. What people don't realize is your muscle mass is your metabolism. So for every pound of lean mass that you have, your body at rest is going to burn about 50 calories. So the more muscle mass that you can retain, the higher your metabolism is. So what we see most in our clubs is people will come in, weight loss is the goal. They'll go to the treadmill for 30 minutes and out the door they go. They don't realize that lifting weights is not just to build muscle and, you know, be a bodybuilder or something like that.
To look good or something. Yeah.
It's actually what's going to help speed up your metabolism. So the first 16 minutes of exercise, you're really just burning sugars in your system. Even if you don't eat a high sugar diet or anything like that, you carry natural sugars in your system. So it takes about 16 to 20 minutes to burn the sugars in your system until you start tapping into burning body fat. So if you take your workout and you go 30 minutes cardio, you're really maybe getting 10 minutes of cardio out of that. If you just do a little bit of a warm-up, just loosen up your muscles a little bit, like 5 minutes, go hit your weights. By the time you're done with weight training, you're doing your strength training, you're building muscle, you're building bone density. Any cardio that you do after that, you're going to be strictly in your body fat zone. So you're going to be burning body fat. So free weights are the most important thing. People have asked me already, like, what's more important, cardio or weights? And weights, by far, are more important. Cardio is great, heart and lungs.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to lose weight, hit the weights.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't think that, you know, and people I don't think a lot of people know that.
Right. Wow. When a lot of girls will say, I don't want to get big. I've been pounding the weights since I was 19 years old. I'm now 51. And I've been hitting the weights. If it was that easy to get big, we'd need to have garage doors on the front of these clubs because I wouldn't fit through the freaking door, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that easy to build weight. Yes. Everybody has different genetics. But the women out there, don't think you're going to get, you know, jacked and you're going to start looking like a dude if you start hitting the weights. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and we're there to help too. So if it's a matter of first time touching weights, definitely reach out to the training department. Like I said, no matter, even if you've been a long time member, the club will pay for an hour with the personal trainer because we're awesome. Here to help you. So
That's really cool. So now what's with the mini Statue of Liberty here? What's going on there?
Yeah. So the trophy here. So we started this years ago because we have the three locations and, you know, competition, no matter what, is what makes the world go round. So we have a little monthly competition between, you know, who can help the most members and things like that.
Okay.
So this is the trophy for like the war room. Whoever helped the most members gets this trophy each month, and they get to, you know, wear it with pride on the front desk. So today I grabbed it just to bring here, cause I was like, oh, Sully said about bringing some stuff. I was like, well, Statue of Liberty, one, the Liberty represents so much, right? And that's one of our memberships is a Liberty membership. And that gives you the 24/7 access, allows you to go to all three locations, allows you to bring a guest. So that Liberty membership, represents a lot. And obviously Statue of Liberty, just especially everything we're going through now in the world, to have that on your front desk, is a sense of pride. And when I grabbed that thing today, my one trainer, Skylar, she said, "Where? Oh no! Oh my God! Where's it going?" It's usually the first of the month is when I pull it if it's got to go somewhere else.
Okay.
I was like, "No! It's coming back." I said, yeah. "I'm just using it for the podcast."
She's so ready to throw down. Yeah, she's like, yeah. "Where's that thing going?"
Yeah. But it made me proud just to know that they take pride in holding that trophy. And Skylar in Palmyra, she's an awesome trainer. So shout out to her. But yeah, it's coming back. But, you know, the end of the month is wrapping up here, so yeah. We'll see where it's going next month.
Sweet. Those are some awesome items. No one's ever brought in. Yeah, I don't think any of this, especially as many Statue of Liberty. That's a first for sure. So now how can our listeners connect with you and, you know, follow along on your journey and also become a member?
Yeah. So obviously we have a website. You can go to newyorkfitnessclubs.com. A lot of the membership information's there. 3-day passes are there, and we'll upgrade you to a 7-day pass if you stop into the club. But a lot of the information is on there. Our Facebook page, New York Fitness Clubs, and then Instagram is actually under our training department. So it's Empire Shapes Personal Training. So yeah, between Instagram and Facebook, you can see us there. But yeah, if anything, stop out and get a tour, because we'd love to talk to you. We know that most people out there have at one point in their life thought about starting an exercise routine, and just know that we have all fitness levels. Some of our members are in their 80s. Walking with, my one guy would come with his oxygen tank. He was like 88 years old. So, yeah, we have all ages.
What's your excuse, right?
Yeah, exactly, like, wow. Exactly. Seriously. So, all fitness levels. So, you know, don't be shy. The hardest thing is getting through that door, and just know that we're going to be on the other side to take care of you. If anybody wants to reach me directly, my email is newyorkfitness@comcast.net, and that's also on the website. But, yeah, I mean, we've been here for 20 years. We plan on being here for another 20. And, again, just trying to help someone new. So if you're that person that's listening today that's been thinking about it, we'd love to have you be that new person that we helped today.
Awesome. So before we close out, anything else you want the listeners to know?
No, I think, Sully, we had one heck of an interview, if you want to call it an interview. But I loved hanging out with you. And just know that, you know, I still to this day, after being in this industry this long, I still get goosebumps when I see someone making a change in their life. We see that smile and you holding your head. It still gives me goosebumps, and that's why I know I'm still doing the right thing.
There you go. Lonnie Wampshire, founder and CEO of New York Fitness Clubs, on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.